Welcome in to the Other Football Podcast. Chris Chapman, Thomas Viola, Carson A. Merck, rolling with you here on Thursday, June the 11th. And a lot going on in the world of football. We have some news from pretty much every corner of the planet. Well, mine is South America. We don't have much news about what's taking place down there. But La Liga got started today. Germany is in full swing. In fact, they just played the semifinals of their German Cup. Serie A getting started. Bundesliga, like I said. And Premier League getting underway. By the way, the Portuguese League started and nobody even knew.
Well, if the Portuguese League starts and no one's around to watch it, did it really start?
No, I don't think so. But we do know that I saw something today. And who was it? Mexican player who plays for Porto. I can't remember who it is.
Is it Tecatito?
No, now I have to look it up. But they've only scored 2 goals since the restart, and he scored both of them.
Nice.
Yeah, so representing CONCACAF. Let me see. Who was it? It's
While you look that up, speaking of stuff going on in CONCACAF, perhaps the biggest news for us, given how this podcast is kind of based around American news, the MLS is back. Okay.
It is Tecatito.
I don't know what the hell his nickname is.
Go ahead,
TV. I just know he's Jesus Corona.
So what you're saying is that the Porto attack has the Corona.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Shout out to Tecatito.
But so we know that MLS is coming back. And we not only do we know how, we know when, we know where, and now we know what the format is going to be, and we know that the way that the teams are going to shake out, because we have so basically they're starting it with a tournament, and the winner of the tournament, from what I heard from Alexi Lalas, like on his show, he wasn't talking to me yet, but what I heard was that they're planning on offering up a CONCACAF Champions League spot to the winner.
Oh, so, I think that's confirmed.
So the group stage is going to affect your table standing. It's going to affect your league standing. But after that, once you get to the knockout stage, you're playing for a CONCACAF Champions League spot. And we know the groups now, and 100%, the West Coast, 100% rigged.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, I was looking at that, and I was trying to figure out how LAFC and LA Galaxy both ended up in the same group.
Pure happenstance.
Yeah. Like, and then Quakes got in with Vancouver, which is actually an underrated rivalry.
And Seattle and Vancouver.
Yeah.
But no Seattle and Portland, which is kind of disappointing.
Well, they couldn't completely rig the entire thing.
Well, they did 3/4 of it, so why not just go full on rigging the draw? Yeah. Like, honestly, what I don't – why wouldn't they televise that?
Because it was rigged.
I think they streamed, like, the announcing of them.
Yeah, but, like, when you watch the World Cup draw.
I think most of those are purely a dog and pony show at that point. I don't think they're actually, like, pulling a ping pong ball out. Or, like, when they used to do the, the draft lottery where they said they would, like, freeze the envelope. So the envelope was
closed.
Pat Ewing.
Not again, man.
Pat Ewing.
Yeah, I feel like any time that you're just doing that for show, I don't think they're actually drawing that at that point, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't know. I like watching it.
Well, you like watching literally anything, as we found out from your soccer preferences when leagues were going on, and you'd be texting us like, hey, guys, I'm watching this Turkish League 4th Division semi-pro team right now.
Yeah, I think Turkish League's coming back too, but I'm not
– Shout out to Dembo Ba.
So – the MLS thing is really cool. I actually, despite not being like the biggest MLS guy, I'm actually really on board with what they're doing. I think it's really cool, and it's a great way to kind of, I guess, restart your season, right? I mean, they had played, what, 1 or 2 weeks before everything shut down. But it's really a cool way to kind of drum up some interest, I think, in your product, especially because, let's be honest, there's not going to be a whole lot of television options when this gets started.
Yeah.
So
I do have one criticism and this is kind of the second time I've had to do this, but I don't know what the outlet was. I think it was a newspaper that they were saying the headline was essentially Major League Soccer is returning before other leagues. They'll have the show all to themselves, blah, blah, blah. But whether you think they're on the same playing field or not, I would argue they are. NWSL is starting 2 weeks at least, maybe 3 weeks ahead of the MLS.
And they're doing theirs in Salt Lake.
Yeah, so to put out that article is it's a bit irresponsible not to even, like, pretend like that was a thing. Like, just act like it doesn't exist was kind of asinine to me. But
my take on it is this. We – like on the one side of it is the fact that how long have we been bothered by the fact that, you know, every major media outlet, when they go, oh, sports are coming back. The four major sports in the U.S. are coming back. And MLS is like, hey, what the hell?
Well,
hey,
this is the
same thing happening. And now granted, we hate it when it happens to MLS. So of course it sucks that it's happening here.
I just feel like both are irresponsible.
The other thing is, I mean, I think the good sign for MLS is I don't really feel like UFC is a mainstream sport. Like, I know there's a lot of people in Vegas who act like it's a mainstream sport. And look, there's a lot of UFC fans around the country, but it's not in the mainstream. But it's gotten a lot of spotlight the last few weeks. The same with NASCAR. I mean, NASCAR, look, let's be honest. The ratings have been declining for years. Attendance has been declining for years. But people are generally interested in NASCAR now because, well, they're the only game in town, you know? So
UFC's fan base, while they may be small in number,
they're vocal.
Well, they lead the rhinestone shirt population by yes. a lot.
They single-handedly kept Affliction in business when it probably should have gone away. Like,
is Affliction gone or is it still around?
I think it's still around, but there was Affliction and what was the other one? Punishment.
Oh no!
But yeah, I mean, they certainly bust out the Bedazzler when it's time to get some T-shirts. But
a little pocket, you know, I mean, chain.
Yeah, of course, you know. But I feel like it's gotten a lot of publicity and people have been watching. You know, I'm not the biggest UFC fan, but I've watched some of the events. I won't pay for it, but I've watched some of the events only because I want live sports. And, you know, for us, we like soccer. We've been enjoying the German league, although it's over, basically. I mean, there's really no sense in denying that Bayern Munich is going to win, what, their ninth straight?
Something like that.
In Bundesliga.
400th yeah. total title.
May as well, right? It's like they haven't lost one since, like, the 70s, it seems like. But they did also advance to the finals of the German Cup. They will play Bayer Leverkusen, who defeated I can't remember the name of the team, but I don't even think they were in Bundesliga 2. I think they were a third division team that made the semis.
No, I think there was – I'm pretty sure there was a semi-pro side that's going far.
It may have been.
They were definitely off the beaten path. Whether they were third division or semi-pro, they were not a top Bundesliga club by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, Leverkusen. Let me see if it has it.
Kai Havertz is hurt, unfortunately. So I'm not positive I like our chances against Bayern either way. But
sounds like he's going to
Newcastle.
I've heard Chelsea. Another Chelsea scumbag. You know,
he was linked to Newcastle today.
So Leverkusen beat FC Saarbrücken. They were a fourth division club. Yeah, so they play in the fourth division. They've been around for 117 years, Saarbrücken. They're actually first. They finished first in the fourth division, so they'll be a member of FIFA next season. The nice.
So we had – I know we picked our Bundesliga teams when that came back. And obviously – we'll have Premier League back next week, but do you guys have a favorite?
Are we all picking new Premier League teams?
Yeah.
You probably should.
Do you guys have favorite La Liga teams?
No. If I rooted for a team, I'd root for Eibar. Just because I like their story. It's a really small town. They only have like 5,000 people in the whole city.
There are only two teams in La Liga. I can't be bothered with that.
Yeah, that's kind of – Although today Sevilla won the the Derby, Sevilla Derby. They beat Real Betis.
I don't know how to pronounce it, but is it Valladolid, something to that effect.
Yeah, generally, if you can't pronounce the name of the team, it's kind of hard to support them.
Well, I'm going to support them because their majority owner is the greatest soccer player ever, Brazilian Ronaldo, and they have Hatem Ben Arfa on the team. So that is one.
He's still around? Wow.
Absolutely. So that is by far my favorite team. But I have
By the way, check in the Bundesliga table. My club, Mainz, they're only 3 points above the playoff for relegation. So I think it's safe to say Paderborn is going down. It looks like Werder Bremen is going down. Düsseldorf, Fortuna Düsseldorf and Mainz and Union Berlin and Augsburg all in that race for not finishing 16th. Fortuna Düsseldorf stinks. I watched them a couple weeks ago. They were absolutely awful. But
it's not a race club, you want to be in.
No. TV's club, Schalke.
We are
they
terrible.
Are 10th.
And a reminder, there was a point in the season where we were competing for the championship.
Yeah.
But
well, they've had some rough times.
That brings up something I want to talk to you guys about, though. Like, one of the more relevant things right now, the only relevant player on Schalke is Weston McKennie.
Yeah.
Now, what do you guys think? There's a lot of talk right now about whether or not he should move on to a different team because he's not quite good enough to be the best player on a bad team. And some people are saying, well, this is kind of as far as he can get. Other people are saying he needs to move on and go somewhere else where he can fit into a better role. I don't know. Would you rather be the best player on a bad team or a decent player on a really good team?
Well, here's the problem with Schalke.
And more importantly, which one would you like for him?
I don't think they're a terrible team in the mold of like some of these other teams in Germany, like Paderborn and Werder Bremen. But recent history suggests that they're actually one of the better clubs in Germany. It just
historically versus the last two seasons is a very different story.
Yeah, well, they've certainly hit the decline. You know, I guess it really would depend on where he has the option. I mean, if it was to go to Bayern Munich, I'd say no, because he'd probably get lost in the shuffle. But like if he had an opportunity to go to, I don't know, someone like, say, Leverkusen or
Everton.
Yeah, I mean, I think Everton's a step up from Schalke right now. You know, I don't know if the appetite is there for American players in England right now, because quite honestly, we haven't really had players of that caliber that have proven they could find a home in England and have a steady career. I mean, the days of Flynn Dempsey and Brian McBride, you know, and of course, we do have one guy who's been a mainstay at Newcastle, but you know, for the most part, we haven't really had any players with sustained success in a really long time in England. So I think Bundesliga is probably a good place for the United States kids to be right now. Why did I say it like that? That's weird. For American kids to be right now. But yeah, Schalke seems to be a sinking ship. But I think there's worse places he could be. But certainly there's probably better places he could be as well.
Yeah, because if you look at it, it's obviously we don't want to compare directly like him and Pulisic overall, but look at Pulisic goes from Dortmund to Chelsea, and then as a fan, a lot of fans when Pulisic's not impacting or playing early, oh, why did he go to Chelsea? He's stuck on the bench. Everyone's mad. Chelsea fans as well, but that was kind of the other side of the equation. You go to a bigger club and you don't play as much. You're not making as big of an impact. Personally, I think there's a happy medium. Schalke's not like a bad happy medium, I guess, between being like a terrible team and a like powerhouse in England. Is Dortmund an option? I mean,
I feel like he would get lost in the shuffle at Dortmund, though. Given
they have so many.
True,
especially
you know they do have a history though of developing players really well.
And Sancho is probably moving, but
yeah.
Sancho's moving is going to create an opportunity for a different American who we're all looking at intensely, Gio Reyna.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I mean, I think it really, like I said, depends on what your options are. I mean, sure, everyone wants to win championships, but if you only want to win championships and play half the games, then sure, Munich is probably a good place to go. But I'm not really sure development-wise going to a club like Bayern and basically being a second or third option in most games is probably not the way you want to spend your career. It seems like he's really competitive, and it seems like he's got some fire. So I would imagine he wants to be at a place where he's going to play. He's going to be on that first choice every single night when the coach puts together his starting lineup. And if not, he wants to be one of the first or second guys coming off the bench. I don't know if there's a club in Germany right now that gives him that option other than where he's at. But
yeah, but the problem is that when he is the best player on that team, is he really flourishing, or is this going to stunt his development moving forward?
Well, I mean, I feel like you could still be the best player on a bad team and develop. I mean, we see it in the NBA all the time. I mean, granted, it's a different sport, but
yeah, kind of apples to oranges.
Yeah, I guess it's not really a fair comparison, but you could be a big fish in a small pond and you could still prove yourself. I mean, would Wolfsburg or Hoffenheim be options?
I mean,
probably play at Hoffenheim and Wolfsburg.
I mean, if you look at, like, even if you go to England, like, Jack Grealish is a really good player on a really bad team, and I don't think that's hampered his development. He's obviously a good bit older than Weston McKennie, but yeah, I mean,
what you don't want to take a step down.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't want to go to a
MLS.
You
know,
well, I mean, there's a lot of step down from Germany, you know. I mean, I'd like to see American players kind of explore their options in different leagues. You know, it seems like the mold is young American, you go to Germany, you develop, and you either stay in Germany or you go back to the United States. It seems like that's the MO. I'd like to see some Americans have the option to play in Spain, play in Italy, play in England, Portugal. I mean, we don't really have a system in place outside of Germany where there's young Americans who are going and playing.
That's true, but a part of that brings up an interesting part of it is the fact that one of the reasons that so many of our players end up in Germany has to do with labor laws and the fact that we have a lot more military bases in Germany than we do.
I mean, if you look at the case, you look at the case of Pulisic.
Yeah,
he had an EU passport. So for him, it was a totally different option. You know, I read an article about the correlation between Japanese players and Germany. And it suggested that the style of play between Germany and Japan is very similar. So the Japanese players aren't so much looking to go play.
Yeah,
they come, they adjust. The game doesn't seem to be, you know, a different style than what they come up playing. And I feel like part of the problem in the United States is that we don't really have a style. You know, it seems to change all the time, right? Yeah. Like you look at, you know how Spain is going to play. You know how Brazil is going to play. And you know how Italy is going to play. Italy is going to try to get ahead of you 1-0 and then not do anything for the next 60 minutes. That's just the way that they play. And they've done that forever.
By the way,
United doesn't have an identity. So I feel like maybe their identity is just putting players in Germany because that seems to have given them the most success. But I'm not sure it's the best style and the best way to do it.
By the way, to back up the article that you read, I spoke with Daigo Kobayashi back in the Lights days, and he said the exact same thing. He said the reason that a lot of Japanese players end up in Germany is because the styles are really similar.
Yeah, I think it's the same with South Korea. There's quite a few South Koreans playing in Germany as well.
I feel like the American style is like the Memphis Grizzlies, like just grit, like grindhouse.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, We don't have, like, think of the last time the Memphis Grizzlies, like Sharif Abdul-Rahim or Z-Bo.
Well, yeah, Zach Randolph. I mean,
but think about Zach Randolph though. Zach Randolph is the U.S. men's national team of the NBA. Like, he's not like a super athletic guy. He he's physical and he tries really hard. Like that Zebo, he'll throw in the blender. He's gonna get you a bucket. But
I mean, I remember our interview with John Strong. He said that the number one thing about American players, why coaches love them, is that grit and that attitude of we're gonna outwork you and work harder than anybody else.
Yeah, that leads me to the comments made by Zlatan.
Hang on. First off, by the way, if you haven't checked out the John Strong interview, it's a couple episodes back. Go check that out. Other football podcast.
Yeah. Definitely check that out.
It was good. I mean, he stuck with us for about an hour, so that was really cool. But I wonder what his thoughts on what Zlatan had to say about the U.S. system. And I'm going to find the quote from Zlatan because I don't want to misquote him.
I feel like you can misquote him.
I mean, I'm inclined to agree with what he said.
I don't disagree either. Also, while you guys look up the quote, I'm pretty sure is it a smaller Swedish team was going to buy him and Kaká?
And yeah, that was amazing.
I think I'm pretty sure that was a thing. But
so I guess his comments. I don't know why I just saw them yesterday.
Here, I got you. It has to be said that the sport is expensive, very expensive. For example, in order for my children to play in a good football team, I have to pay $3,500 per child. It is not for the figure, but the whole concept. I dislike it very much because not everyone has the money needed, and the sport should be something for everybody because it unites people of whatever origin.
I like his comments about Pele as well. Pele became a champion without anything. He played with a ball made of rags. Now, I guess he made these comments back in December. But he also went on to say that the high cost to play in the U.S. stops people from different backgrounds from making connections. Not everyone has the money needed for the sport because something for everyone, it should be something for everyone because it unites races and people. So, I mean, he's not wrong.
And no, it kind of goes the same thing.
Yeah. I mean, I deal with hockey. Hockey is an unbelievably expensive sport to play, right? Yeah. And, I mean, I can't afford for my son to play hockey. I mean, just every time he grew, I'd have to go out and buy all brand new equipment.
And that's like hundreds of dollars.
Yeah. So, and then that doesn't even include the cost of travel, right? Because you're not playing 50 teams from Vegas. You're playing teams from all over the West Coast. Maybe you're in California one weekend. The next weekend you're up in Salt Lake City. Maybe you even have to go to Canada. So, I mean, it's a very expensive sport to play, and I don't know how different the system in Canada is versus the system in the United States when it comes to youth hockey, and maybe that's something I could try to look into. But, like, I feel like there's a lot of – and we've heard some prominent American former national team players basically come out and rip the pay-for-play system. I think one of them actually is the manager of the Lights here in Las Vegas. He's not a fan of that. And, I mean, he played for the national team.
I mean, who is a fan of it? I've never heard of someone coming out and saying –
people getting in the money.
Benefiting.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. But
the Carlos Cordieros of the world are thrilled with it. But, you know, I feel like one of the biggest obstacles we face is we need to put soccer people in charge of U.S. soccer. Not accountants, not lawyers, not businessmen. We need people like Alexi Lalas, people like Stu Holden, people like Eric Wynalda, Kobe Jones, people who understand how difficult it is to actually get to that level, people who can spot talent and see it and not care if his parents can afford to pay $2,500 a season.
Well, you had that with this last election for the president of U.S. soccer. It seemed like, I mean, Eric Wynalda was involved in that, and he was kind of that soccer voice. He had some ideas that were outside of the norm, and everyone was like
the MLS draw. But then you don't vote for him. The MLS draw, it was rigged.
Allegedly. But yeah, that is, yeah.
And so, that guy, and that guy's not even in the job anymore.
Right, so it's one of those.
Because he was a total scumbag.
Yeah, where it was like everyone was like, oh, yeah, you know, soccer guy. But then when it push came to shove, he didn't win. It's the same thing.
It's the same thing that FIFA did because the people at the top aren't interested in change.
Yeah, they're more interested in dollars.
That brings me to a really good point. I'm reading this book right now. I've got all the time in quarantine. I've been chilling poolside, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to crack something open. And
wow, your pool is open at your place?
It's awesome. Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
And so I'm reading this book. It's called Soccernomics.
I like how Spain is in the forefront on that soccer ball, where evading taxes is an acceptable practice for players.
Well, China, India, the U.S., and Australia are the other flags on that soccer ball.
Oh,
so.
Well, none of us belong on that soccer ball in Spain.
Yeah, but the point about it, like the underscore for the – it's called Soccernomics, Why England Loses, Why Germany, Spain, and France Win, and Why One Day Japan, Iraq, and the United States Will Become Kings of the World's Most Popular Sport.
Shout out to Kisuke Honda.
And so it's really interesting. Like, it's written by an economist and a sports journalist. And I'm about just under halfway through it. And one of the big things that they talk about is how soccer has never been big business. But all of a sudden, some of the biggest clubs are actually starting to make money, because they really didn't. For a long time, if you owned a soccer team, you're not making money off of that team.
Because you're a fan. You're a big fan of the game. I mean, most
or you're rich and have money to burn, and you want
like Man City and Chelsea.
Yes.
Before you continue.
Exactly. And they cite Man City and Chelsea as examples of that, because you have a really wealthy owner who became a billionaire and was like, hey.
Who doesn't care if he loses money.
Yeah. And so they're willing to sink a lot of money into the team. And it used to be that a lot of that money always, like, clubs would reinvest all of the money back into the team. And it's really interesting how they talk about financial fair play, and they're actually for soccer sugar daddies, which was really surprising to me. Yeah.
Yeah.
They were like these ultra rich people coming in and just trying to like pump money into a club is a good thing, because it's more money that's going into soccer in general. Because think about it. What's his name? Abramov, the Chelsea guy?
Yeah, Abramovich, I think.
Abramovich.
Roman Abramovich.
Yeah. So think about it. He comes in, buys Chelsea. He's not looking to make a profit on it. He just wanted to own a soccer team.
Yeah. They've had a lot of success.
They have.
A lot of people don't know, there was a time when Chelsea was actually relegated down to the second division in the 80s. I mean, that's – They were a mid-table club when I really started getting into the sport, and then of course they get bought by Russian oligarch, and they're now one of the top three or four clubs in England year in, year out.
But that helps all of England, because here's the thing: think about it. Who's the last big Chelsea signing?
They're on the verge of signing Timo Werner.
Who's the last big Chelsea signing from another Premier League team?
N'Golo Kanté.
Take Kanté. Think of all the money that they paid, and obviously we don't have that figure off the top of our head. I can't remember it, but Chris is on it. All of that money went straight to another club. So Abramovich comes in. And he says, I want to pump all this money in, let you guys buy a bunch of players. So then they go out and buy a bunch of players. And sue me for saying it, but it is that a little bit of that trickle-down effect where you have the really rich clubs,
by the way,
and they're spending this money.
Chelsea only paid $39.38. So they only paid like $40 million for N'Golo Kanté.
He also has hair now, which is crazy, but go ahead.
Yeah. But so then – You have these teams that are willing to pay more for these players, and so all of a sudden the smaller teams that are selling them have more money to fund their spending. And the problem with financial fair play is that it's put a cap on how much you're allowed to put into a club. And the problem with that is now some of these teams are becoming profitable and their owners aren't sinking that money back into soccer. They're not taking those profits and turning them into something like a new stadium or a big transfer. They're just taking that money out like the Glazers and the Kroenkes. And that's what they're saying. They say in this book, and you can disagree with it if you want. I just found it really interesting how they were saying that fair play is bad and sugar daddies are good.
Who? So I was going to ask, so you said it was, is it an economist and a soccer journalist, or is it the same person?
Two different people wrote the book together, and one's a soccer journalist and one is a sport, like, soccer economist, basically.
Gotcha. I was like, if that's one person, that is an intense title to hold.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm looking through some of their signings. They did sign Jorginho, although he came from Serie A, and Kepa, of course, from Atletico.
But still, even then, it helps. Like even if the money goes to a different league, even if the money's going to a different league, all of these leagues, like the ecosystem is intertwined. And so the more money that you have coming into soccer from people who don't care about taking money back out of soccer, the better off you're going to be.
By the way, how is Matt Miazga still on Chelsea? How does he still play
for
Chelsea?
That's a great question.
he's on loan for 12 years.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? I'm looking through, and I don't remember when he signed with Chelsea. He signed with Chelsea in 2015-2016.
Damn.
In that time, he's played for Nantes, Reading, and Reading again. So, and Vitesse. So he has played for a bunch of different clubs. Like, why would you –
I would not guess that Matt Miazga will be playing for Chelsea ever.
No. I wonder what's next for him. Is he just doomed to MLS now? Like, is his career in Europe over?
Nah, I think he can bounce around. Bobby Wood is still playing in Europe. Let's be completely fair. Bobby Wood's still playing. Matt Miazga can still play.
But, it's funny that he did play in France, because it happened yesterday or maybe the day before. But remember, France is the one league, I'd say big league in Europe. I don't know if I'd put the Dutch league or Belgian league in the category as big, but they suspended play on March 13th, and then they announced that they weren't bringing the league back. They went to a points per game basis. Lyon ended up getting screwed because they were fifth in standings. The PPG, they ended up in seventh. So they miss out on a spot in Europe. But where it got interesting was – there was a court injunction filed by the two clubs who were supposed – they were going to be relegated, Toulouse and Amiens. And it was this week, the court ruled that they cannot relegate either of these clubs. So now it looks like in France, they're going to go to a 22-team league next season. I think they have 18 teams. So the 16th place team was supposed to play in a playoff against the third from top in League Two. And they are not going to do that, apparently. But there will be no relegation in Ligue 1. And it'll be – we haven't gotten confirmation, but it's looking like they're going to go to a 22-team league. I don't know what two teams have come up. I haven't looked, but
I think that makes the most sense to solve a lot of these problems. Is you're going to have to deal with, look, it's not if you don't finish the season, of course. If you finish every game, then by all means, you're good. But if you had teams who had a mathematical possibility of not being relegated, and you don't finish your season, I feel like you have to expand the league and then just add bump an additional relegation spot each year until it evens itself back out.
Yeah, like maybe next year you relegate three teams, and then in two seasons you're back to normal.
Because we've mentioned that with not just France, but other leagues and everything in the world, it's not normal, and adjustments are going to have to be made. So it's one of those where sports are typically so structured, and like especially soccer, so historical. Like, this is how we do things. At this point, you're going to have to adjust a little bit. You're going to have to, you know, make some changes. So,
well, yeah.
But soccer, more than everything except Major League Baseball, is notorious for not wanting to adjust.
For sure.
Well, I mean, I think just because the league's back, it doesn't mean that there's not going to be hurdles. And, like, I know Man United had to cancel their friendly because a player on – I don't know who they were supposed to play – But I know Liverpool played back Blackburn, so I'm sure, you know, it was probably a lower division club. But a player from the team they were supposed to have their friendly against tested positive for coronavirus. So
Arsenal lost to, I think, Brentford, by the way.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that doesn't bode well for them next week against City.
City, by the way, yeah.
The next time we do the podcast, if things break right, Liverpool may only need to beat Everton.
Really? You've never mentioned this.
It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
Because yeah, you're right.
City's going to beat Arsenal. And
oh, so Arsenal has to beat City to prevent?
Yeah.
To cause? Oh.
So yeah. If that game is on, I think, a week from yesterday, the 17th. So if City lose to Arsenal, Liverpool just needs to beat Everton, and they will win the Premier League. If
God, they please, don't, please, for the love of God, let Everton beat Liverpool and cause a monumental Corona season slide.
Well, you know, here's the crazy
Liverpool bit. Not winning the title.
I think because of the layoff, it's not out of the realm of possibility that City win every game remaining.
It really isn't.
Now, the problem is Liverpool only need to win two.
Yeah. They're so far ahead. I think that the most reasonable thing to do is still declare the season null and void.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I'm conflicted on – so the FA Cup is coming back as well, which Newcastle's in the semis for. And I'm glad that they'll have the chance to actually, you know, win the title potentially. But I'm also mad that I can't just be like, we would have won it if they had let it play out. Now we actually have to go out there and play Manchester City in a few weeks and –
Well, it's kind of like how Syracuse was absolutely on its way to winning the national title this year before the season got canceled.
Exactly. Having that or Dayton obviously was actually going to win that title. Shout out to Obi Toppin, real name, no gimmicks. But, yeah, that is definitely – I was like, oh, cool, FA Cup's back. Then I was like, damn. I was like, I can't just declare us the victor.
Is Obi Toppin draft eligible?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he declared.
So future Golden State Warrior Obi Toppin? No, they're going to get James Wiseman.
Oh,
I don't know. That's the thing.
Obi Toppin would be kind of – is Golden – yeah, how about that? The NBA went to a 22-team
– Yeah.
And Golden State was so bad that they weren't even in
– Well, Golden State has the worst record. Like, they are – yeah.
Well, how about this?
And the Cavs.
The Brooklyn Nets could end up getting both Durant and Kyrie Irving back.
I think both said they're not.
Yeah, okay. Both have already put the kibosh on that.
What's funny was like that. Obviously, I'm a Cavs fan, and when it's announced that it's this 22 team return, they just like put out a statement or like a picture. It was like, "Hey, thanks for the memories this season." Like, because there's not like an end of the season. Like, it was just like, "Well, take it easy.
See you next time, folks." Yeah.
It was like, hey, thanks for supporting us. We'll see you next
year. But the difference is this time next year, the Cavs will still be in line for the first overall pick, whereas the Warriors will be back in the finals.
Oh, that's scary to think that they're going to get everything back, and they could end up with – well, they probably will end up with a top three pick.
And they could get Giannis at the end of the season.
Oh, my God. Sign me up for that. Sign me up for that. Because I can't – I can't stand the Lakers, and I just want to see LeBron get served.
Same.
By the Warriors?
I don't care. I got nothing against Seth Curry. I like
What do you have against LeBron?
I just don't like him. I root against him.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, that makes sense. He's a terrible guy that hasn't done
more
for his community, the greatest basketball player of all time.
It's not that I dislike him personally.
Second greatest.
Let me say this.
I just root against him because I always root against – he is like the Man City of the NBA.
He's the Liverpool. He owns Liverpool.
He owns part of Liverpool. I guess I should root for him, right?
But yeah, no, see?
Yeah, my problems with LeBron stem all the way back to screwing over the
decision.
The city of Cleveland, the decision and all that. And then I kind of started to come back around on him when he went back to Cleveland and I like felt bad. It wasn't the year they won, it's the year that everybody was hurt and his number two was like Matthew Dellavedova.
Shout out to Deli.
And he was still out there, and he was still out there just trying to win. And I felt so bad for him. I was like, I like this guy. And then, you know, everything over the past year happened, and I'm back on the, all right, I forgot that you
Well, you know, it was
like small potatoes, but
this and all that stuff. It's like, you know, I just can't get on board with the whole super team thing, you know, like.
So you're on board with the Warriors, though.
Yeah, but yes. but outside the thing with the Warriors was they drafted a majority of those guys.
But again, let's not make this a basketball podcast. But we can't pretend like super teams haven't been around for years before LeBron made it.
And I rooted against the Bulls and Tony Kukoc and Dennis Rodman going there. I didn't like
them. Yeah, but the main thing to remember is that basketball is and has always sucked. So we can move on from that.
I don't mind.
I can't,
except for 2016.
Except no, that was that year started out great and ended terribly.
2016 is the only, like, if you're gonna find one year, I'm looking at a wall right now that has, you know, the Plain Dealer newspaper cover from that year. So, no, yeah, it's basketball. Basketball was great at that time.
The NBA, terrible. College basketball, amazing.
Yeah, college basketball. I like college basketball better than the NBA. I'm not going to lie. You know, I honestly, what I was hoping for, I was hoping that the NBA was going to just have a playoff with every single team.
Do a March Madness tournament? Just
Cavs would have made a run.
Could you imagine? I would be completely.
The ultimate Nick thing would have been to find some way to play yourself out of the lottery. Like, they make a run to, like, the quarterfinals. And they don't end up with a lottery pick, and you're like, yes, the Knicks screw themselves again.
Who is one NBA player you would like to see play soccer to somehow tie it to soccer?
I would have liked to have seen Kobe Bryant.
True.
I'm gonna go a different direction. I know you said NBA player, but ultimately it would have been cool to see Chad Johnson.
Yeah.
I'd be curious. I know he tried.
Yeah.
Bolt. But Ochocinco, yeah, he seems – because, I mean, if you follow him on Twitter, all he does is talk trash about how good he is at FIFA.
Yeah. I want to play him. Like, I'm sure that he'll beat me because I'm only okay. But, yeah. I it would be cool just to play him when he's here.
And I think he offers people money if they could beat him, right?
He does.
That's pretty wild.
In normal times, he shows up to people's houses to beat them.
Oh, my God.
Nothing will ever be better, though. Was it Cardale Jones? It was an Ohio State player and, I believe, a quarterback. Didn't he go to a children's hospital and just utterly destroy this kid?
Yes. I can't remember who it was.
I'm fairly certain it was Cardale.
It seems like a Cardale Jones. Cardale Jones also notorious for saying he didn't go to Ohio State to play school.
Yeah.
And a Cleveland native as well, Cardale Jones. Shout out, word to 12 gauge.
Not St. Ignatius High?
XFL no,
he
legend.
Was, he was Glenville High. Very different from St. Ignatius High. That coached by Ted Ginn Sr. Fun.
Oh, nice.
But
didn't know that.
Yeah,
Ted Ginn Jr. somehow still in the NFL?
Yeah.
He's on like his eighth team.
Glenville, if anyone is interested, is listening to this and is also a football fan, Glenville has put in – to the NFL, like some, I think Marshawn Lattimore went to Glenville. Obviously, Ted Ginn, Troy Smith. They've had like a pretty decent run. 12 gauge. I don't know who. Like Doug Gottlieb is the first guy that always comes to mind that always does the, well, if our best athletes played soccer, it doesn't make sense.
It's not true. It's not a real argument.
Yeah, but
it's,
I don't
it's
know.
It's a pretty weak argument because
it's something that non-soccer
it takes no effort to put into. You know, it's like first of all, if that's the case, then every other country in the world's best athletes are going to play soccer.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, and we know that that's not the case. I mean, Argentina won a freaking gold medal in the Olympics in basketball. They were better than Team USA. So
damn bronze medal,
you know,
but the thing is their
best athletes are playing baseball.
But the thing is like Christian, there's videos of Christian Pulisic dunking. Like he's an athlete. Like they, our soccer players are great athletes.
That's just the thing. It's like dissing these guys. It's like saying that they're not real athletes. And it's like,
but first of all,
you get out there and run around for 90 minutes.
The other problem is maybe like top three most difficult skills to develop in all of sports. One has to be your golf swing. Two has to be hitting a baseball.
I would say hitting a baseball is one, but
yeah. Well,
I'm not ranking.
Oh, you were just going through that.
Yeah, I'm just going through
just
a
going
couple.
Through it. Yeah, yeah.
And another one has to be developing a first touch, because that is something that takes years to get right. And the reason that so many people in Europe, it's because they grew up playing the sport when they were two, and they've been developed. They're that far ahead of the curve. Whereas
Marcelo was born with a wicked first touch.
Exactly.
I'll go to my grave believing that. Like, they threw that dude a pacifier first day, and he was just pulling it down.
Well, and it's like a lot of these guys who play are great athletes. I mean, you mean to tell me a guy like Zlatan couldn't be successful in another sport?
I would pay any amount of money to see Zlatan enter the Olympics in ping pong next year.
Oh my god! I mean, like,
there's, like, I want to see him playing the most non-Zlatan sport and Zlataning it.
Like, I mean, Cristiano Ronaldo couldn't excel in another sport. Like, he couldn't play baseball.
Yeah, I mean,
some of these couldn't play in the NBA.
That argument is literally just a non-soccer following.
Yeah.
Sports analyst that feels the need to chime in on, like, when the U.S. missed the World Cup, there were all kinds of jabronis just like throwing out ideas, and it's like, you haven't watched for the first however long. We don't. Your opinion at this point is not.
Yeah, when you
that's a good idea. We never thought of that.
Every 4 years, your opinion is not valid.
Yeah,
and it's not a knock on Doug Gottlieb because he does a good job, but
no, he doesn't. He does a terrible job.
You can say that. I won't say that. But,
allegedly,
you know, it's like, you know, the thing is, when you only watch it once every 4 years and you don't watch the Premier League, you don't watch Bundesliga, you don't watch La Liga.
I mean, you get that boob that shows up to Schweinsteiger's introduction in Chicago and asks if he's going to win the World Cup. Like,
good times, good times.
Yeah, it's like, listen, I don't watch a ton of the NBA. I'm not going to say something hot about the NBA because I just don't know enough about it. I mean, it's not my forte.
Remember the family that asked for a picture with the Chicago Fire players and they had Bastian Schweinsteiger take it in the airport?
Oh my god, that's right.
I saw
that was a great moment.
I saw one moments
in Chicago Fire history.
Jack Grealish was saying he was at an airport and was with maybe Jake McGinn, who's his team on the Welsh national team, maybe. And somebody thought that Jake McGinn was Jack Grealish and asked Jack Grealish to take the picture.
Oh, that's amazing.
And so he just was like, yep. Or no. It wasn't Jack Grealish. It was Andy Robertson. It was Scotland.
Oh, God, Andy Robertson.
They had the working class hero take a picture with.
Well, that's why he's the working class hero.
I have no question about it. But that, that's bad.
I was once.
Liverpool played a friendly today, and I mean, it doesn't mean anything, but they were in good form. They put up 6 goals on Blackburn today, and my guy Takumi Minamino scored his.
Blackburn's in like League 4.
No, they're not.
Chris has to take what he can get.
Well, I think they're in Championship, but speaking of League 4, I don't know if you guys have seen, but the EFL, I guess that's not Championship, right? Or is that?
It is Championship.
They have announced that they're not returning.
Wow.
And Tranmere, who was, I guess, already facing relegation. I don't know. I haven't really looked at the table. But they put out a statement basically saying that if we don't have the option to have fans in the stand next year, there's a good chance we're not going to be back because they may go bust. And it makes me wonder how many more clubs are in that type of situation. I mean, Tranmere is a fairly big club for a non-Premier League.
Here's the thing about all that, and it's tying it back into that Soccernomics book once again. Heavy theme for me this week because that's what my nose is buried. But there's a reason that so many soccer clubs never go bust. And it has to do with the way that bankruptcy laws are shaped. And what they'll do, and for a while, what clubs would do, like the reason that they had no problem spending any amount of money and the reason they're able to rack up all this debt is, especially for these smaller clubs, what you do is just you just say you're insolvent and you just say, okay, well, we're done, and then start up a new club with the same exact licensing.
Well, that's what happened with Parma.
Yeah, that's all you do, and it's basically like hitting the reset button.
Wimbledon, I think, did that as well.
Wimbledon had a much different story. Wimbledon's,
shout out to Bjorn Borg.
Wimbledon's thing was Wimbledon
most famous athlete ever.
Wimbledon actually went bust, but the author John Green, who writes all those teen girl books,
I don't even know what the hell you're talking about.
Yeah, he wrote Fault in Our Stars and all them.
A poor man's Maurice Sendak.
Yeah. he's more like, but yeah, he's an author of teenage novels.
Okay.
And he really liked the fact that they were named the Wimbly Womblies. And so he put up the money to restart them.
He's like a teen version of Tom Clancy.
Now, what are they?
Yes, there you go.
Dons.
What?
Isn't there a tie-in that the former Wimbledon club has with MK Dons?
I'm pretty sure that they are the MK Dons. Like, okay. Nice. Like the Wimbledon team moved to, and that's who they became.
We mentioned it early, talking about MLS coming back and the tournament. Who decided, who ended up on that name for the tournament? MLS is back.
The MLS is back with the MLS is back tournament brought to you by AT&T.
Like, MLS is back is what you were definitely, like you said, that's what you're supposed to say to announce.
That's your slogan.
The tournament.
Yeah.
They were just like, somebody said that like in a Slack room. They're like, MLS is back. They're like, perfect. That's the
I would have paid any amount of money for them to call it the Corona Tombola.
Oh my gosh. Well, we will wrap things up
gracefully
right?
when I said let's wrap the show, we didn't have to like immediately go into it. I was
still have a few things to touch on.
Yeah,
maybe possibly the last week we discussed the Korean League, but it finally happened. Jeonbuk Hyundai, my club, they actually lost to Gangwon 1-0. But they still sit atop of the table. I think Carson is what, Daegu?
Yes, sir.
They are currently in eighth.
Damn.
And I think
I don't think there's that many teams in that league.
TV, you went with Incheon, I think.
Mm-hmm. No, he
switched to FC Seoul.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, that's right. Well, Jeonbuk Hyundai just beat FC Seoul last week. They sit in seventh. Good thing you didn't go with Incheon, because right now they are
inching their way to relegation.
Yes. 5 games played, 0 wins on the season.
So yes.
Not a great start to the campaign for Incheon. No. J-League will be back July 4th. So we will celebrate Independence Day in the United States. I will be celebrating the return of the J-League. Nice thing is, it's probably July 3rd here when it actually gets played. So
good, because your boy is not dedicating the resources on July 4th to watching Japanese football. I'm sorry.
I don't even know if it's gonna be on. I think, you know what, I remember seeing that it wasn't available on DAZN, but apparently it is. They just don't advertise that it's available, because I guess there's a 10-year partnership that they signed with DAZN. I don't know why they would have gone to DAZN and not stayed on ESPN Plus, but oh, we also found out this week that Bundesliga is leaving Fox, and they're going to ESPN. So I think that's a big step for them, a big step up, because let's be real. I mean, Fox's coverage is not terrible. It's good. But ESPN, I think, gives you a lot more availability and a lot more notoriety, because now if we learned anything about ESPN, it's that they promote the hell out of things that they own the rights to. I mean, look at UFC, again, being a great example. They never really – there were times I turned on SportsCenter, and they didn't even know the names of the fighters. Now it's on every week, it seems. So the Bundesliga is – I think it's a good move for them. They're going to get a lot of publicity, I'm sure it's costing them a lot of money to change from Fox to ESPN, but I feel like it's worth it for them, because the publicity they're going to get and the push – they're going to get from ESPN. I mean, the XFL was getting push from ESPN, and it was a terrible football league. But I wonder where Fox is going to go now. You know, because now they don't have the Premier League. They don't have the Bundesliga starting next year.
Yeah.
Maybe – I don't know if La Liga is an option for them, but Serie A is with ESPN. I mean, I don't know.
I think the thing with Fox is that they're probably really hesitant after the bath that they took on the World Cup. Because they ended up doing well, but you have to feel like for the last several years, they have been just taking a beating from the fact that they secured the World Cup rights, then the U.S. doesn't make it. They lose the Champions League rights. The only thing they're probably happy about right now is letting those rights go after what happened this year. They're probably like,
okay, we made a little back there. And Turner, who owns the rights to the Champions League, they don't even know if it's coming back.
Yeah.
Well, their whole setup is terrible. You know,
it's on Bleacher Report. You have Steve Nash coming in, but that and like,
shout out to Steve Nash.
A shout out to Steve Nash. I love Steve Nash. One of my favorite players ever.
But the reality is, he probably shouldn't be commentating on soccer.
And he's actually pretty knowledgeable. Like I'm not faulting them. The only problem is like you don't really have the credibility factor. That's like if we started bringing in Chris to like commentate on hockey in a spot where you wanted, like they clearly wanted an athlete in Steve Nash's spot. If we were just going to go like, oh, Chris isn't perhaps the best example because you're actually, you know, in media, but it's like if we took a guy from the bar, even if he has a really great jump shot, it doesn't mean that we want him talking about a completely different sport, even if he knows a lot about it.
Yeah. You know? I mean, I get that, you know, it's like.
Like Chad Johnson's a really big soccer fan, but it doesn't mean that we're clamoring for him to be on Champions League coverage.
Yeah. I mean, I'm
down for it, but.
As I said, that would be pretty cool.
I almost wonder if they're going to have to change the way that they deliver things next year, assuming we get the Champions League back, because I'm sure they're taking a beating and they're going to have to do a lot to kind of convince people to come back because. I mean, the thing that bothered me the most was what they did with the Europa League. You know, only one game.
Exists?
Well, they basically act like it doesn't.
Good. As do I.
Well.
The NIT of Europe.
Listen, if Newcastle and Everton were in the Europa League, both of you guys would take an interest in it.
Well, it'd also be a cool day in hell.
At that point, it would become the elite competition in Europe, though.
No question about it.
All of a sudden, you have the best teams playing in it.
I'll say, go ahead and get your Newcastle jokes off now, because when we signed De Bruyne and Mbappe in the summer,
you signed it to everyone. It's De Bruyne, Mbappe, Jadon Sancho, Sergino Dest, Ronaldo's coming in.
They're reconstructing original Ronaldo's knees. He's coming back as a Decepticon.
Ronaldicon.
We did not give our shout outs. We just went right into it this week.
I've been giving shout outs the whole episode.
Yeah.
No. Our shout outs to where you can catch us.
Oh, fair.
LV Sports Network, Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, BGN.FM. Shout out to Roughneck Scarves.
And speaking of BGN, I have a feature. If this comes out Friday, which I believe that it will. Earlier this morning, you saw a feature on BGN of Houston Dash defender Satara Murray, who played 4 years for Liverpool's women's team.
Ah, interesting.
Liverpool's relegated women's team.
Yes, they're relegated women's team.
You got out
See,
before
I was
that.
Right. I was right. I said Liverpool was going to get relegated, and they did.
You never specified. Yes, fair enough. And you know what comes back next week?
Premier League.
No, much better than the Premier League.
Oh, not the Chris Magnum Chapman game of the week.
Yes, of course. Yes.
One more week. More week.
It's back. It's back next week.
This time.
We can't wait.
All right. Well, that will do it for us. Thank you for listening. If you're still here, we greatly appreciate it. I'm going to go eat dinner. I've got some teriyaki chicken with broccoli and rice. So nice.
Shout out to Filipino spaghetti, by the way.
With hot dogs?
Yes.
Really?
Drew's wife is Filipino, and she's been making that a few times. And
does she use the sweet
bank.
Hunts?
Absolutely. TV, you if know, you haven't had it, it's money.
I used to live there.
The Italian in me is hurting badly from that, but I would not be opposed to
it. It's very different. It's very sweet, and there are chunks of hot dogs, so it's very different. But it's interesting. Tasty.
It's got to be Hunt's, too, the Hunt's spaghetti sauce. With it's sweet. But they also have what is it? Banana. I think they have banana ketchup.
Shout out the bananas in pajamas.
Yeah. Coming down the stairs. All right. We will talk to you next week. Chris Magnum Chapman, Game of the Week. We'll be back along with the Premier League. Maybe we'll recap some Serie A. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Maybe the whole – maybe everything gets canceled because someone major tests – let's hope not. But, all right. We will talk to you then. Have a great week, everybody. This has been the Other Football Podcast. You can catch us on Twitter at OtherFWallPod, at Magnum702.
At TV.
At Carson Americk. I thought you were going to roll with all of them. Bye.
I set you up.
Yep.
All right. So at Magnum702, at TV at work, and at Carson Americk. We will.
Don't forget to like, subscribe, share. Talk to us on Twitter, guys. Let it, let your friends know that you like the show, please. We've been getting a good number of listeners. We're really happy with where it's going, but we want to build you into a community.
We want it bigger. We want it to be bigger.
Yeah, we want to make this even bigger. So please help us make it better. Tweet at us. Tell us what you want to hear us talk about. Tell us how you think we can make the show better. We're excited to hear from you.
Food related, soccer related.
Of course.
Related.
Nonsense related. Yeah. All sorts of.
Especially nonsense related.
Yes, definitely nonsense related. All right, guys, we will talk to you next week. Have a good one.